adoption of the minutes of the previous meeting, which is on a separate attachment. Can someone move the approval of correct record, please?
Yep.
Councillor Neil, all those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Actions, there are none. Moving on to item 10.1, matters for council decision, general manager's report.
Basically, there's an update here on the election. The details, read that. There's a rates update, where we're at with our rates as compared to the last financial year. Basically, trending exactly the same in terms of percentage paid to the 31st of October. And the accounts for payment, they were sent out on a separate schedule by email. Mr. Donnelly, Mr. Rosler, any comments to make?
Well, this is my report. I'd take those matters are fairly standard. We usually give a rates update periodically, usually after we gave this one, similar one back late last year after the initial invoices have gone out. This just gives a bit more information around penalties. As you can see, the numbers, the percentages are very much in line with the previous year. So it's largely business as usual. And the election update was really just an opportunity to put those dates into the public arena and make sure that they're recorded so everybody is aware of when that will be happening, which isn't too far away now.
Thank you for that. Any comment, questions?
I'd be to move A and B in recommendations, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Hope. No comment. If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. Next, we move on to the annual plan report. Gentlemen, have you got any comments to make at this stage? Yeah. No, we've just done it. Well, we removed the report, so.
I misunderstood. I wanted to ask a question.
Okay.
It simply was we were sent out an election protocol a week ago. I had a robust discussion. but I'd just like to get some clarification around the election protocol and whether or not. Is this the appropriate place to do it, given that this is the election update?
Yeah, I'll accept that. We'll go back to that scene.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Thank you so much. The election protocol, I'm not aware of having had a chance to discuss it around the governance table, and I think it needs to be discussed. So can we have that discussion slotted in at some time in the future, please? Perhaps the next committee round? Or is that, are we within the 3-month period already?
I'd probably be running a bit late then, I would have thought.
Next council meeting?
I'm a bit confused as to what you'd want to discuss. I thought it's, you know, they're the election protocols that are put out by LGNZ. I mean, they're there to protect all councils from, you know, any legal challenge in the election process. So I wouldn't have thought they're sort of actually up for debate. They were circulated, you know, that we've circulate protocols to staff and councillors to ensure that everybody's aware of the rules that they should be adhering to. I'm very unclear as to why that would be debated at all.
Councillor Laws.
Let me explain. It has no legal sanction and it has no policy sanction. So rules don't exist, Mr. Donald. They are guidelines put out by Local Government Association of New Zealand. Unless they receive sanction from this particular governance team, they have no suasion or sanction at all. So that's the reason why. So that takes us next back to the next point is, well, what are those protocols that bind us all that we haven't discussed and have just seen for the first time?
So I understand and have consulted with other council CEs are in regards to this, that I think there is some risk in the protocols coming to the governance table, given that the protocols apply to you in a political sense. And it's a position of, I guess, advantage that you're able to, you would be able to debate those. And as I understand it, these protocols have been set through consultation with the Attorney General. So
the Attorney General or the Auditor General?
Yes, they are two things, you're quite right. So I would just ask you to consider, and my recommendation would be that they don't come to the table for debate and discussion, but that, as many other councils around the country are doing, they are simply seen as part of the election process that normally is run from an operational perspective, rather than governance decisions needing to be made around acceptance or otherwise.
Comment from others, Councillor Neil.
Mr Chairman, I would take that from what Mrs Gardner is saying, is that it's not council that would seek out to punish a person for breaking the protocols. In fact, it would be the Office of the Auditor General to say, hey, you've broken these rules, because they're not council rules, they're the Auditor General's protocol.
There are guidelines to ensure that everybody adheres with the Local Government Act. So, you're quite right. It's not that we'll be enforcing it. If somebody was perceived to have done something incorrect, then somebody else would, the Auditor General, or somebody may take court action because they're not, and that could invalidate the election. So, it's trying to offer guidelines to ensure that councillors don't step outside of the realms of what they should in relation to the election.
Mr Donnelly's made a much better job than me at making that point.
There is some risk, as Mr Donnelly says, around the organisation holds indemnity insurance as a consequence. If there was to be a situation where the election was invalidated, the insurance may also be invalidated if we don't handle these things correctly. So I think my advice would be that they don't come to the governance table. However, if you would like to make a different decision, that's your prerogative.
Councillor Kempton.
Yeah, look, I concur with that view, but for slightly different reasons. I mean, Local Government New Zealand, or Solgum, I can't remember who it was, have very very conveniently brought together and interpreted the requirements of the Electoral Act, the Local Government Act. I suppose there'll be the members' interests and all of that stuff. They've brought all that together and said, these look like the rules around election, right? And that's fine. That's where the guideline comes from. But from that point of view, it's pretty useful. But on that basis, if you read them and you don't believe them, that's at your peril or at your own risk. And whether we discuss and tick them off or we don't discuss and tick them off, how you act is at your risk. And so nothing changes. And it seems to me that we accept them for what they are, which is a very convenient protocol or rather a very convenient interpretation of the various legislative requirements around elections and candidates and so on. Leave it at that.
Councillor Kempton's essentially said exactly what I was going to say. I'm comfortable with what they are. They're guidelines, best practice for the organisation, Mrs Gardner and the general managers in particular, to follow. And we leave them at that. And we're all aware of them. I don't see the need for us to be mandating them, and I accept Mrs Gardner's identifying there's some risk around that, and I hadn't actually thought that through until now, and now I have had a chance to think it through. That's quite clear.
Can I just read to you what the Office of the Auditor General says? Because I don't think anybody's read it. It says, we advise, this is 5.13, section 5.13, Office of the Auditor General on pre-election communications. we advise local authorities to adopt a communication protocol, setting out how they intend to manage communications during the pre-election period. Now, clearly, that clause states that you've got to adopt it. And there isn't one adopted, so right at the moment, there is no pre-election protocol for the ORC. Because we've never had that discussion, it's never come here as an agenda item, and there isn't a protocol. There are guidelines, as Mr. Donnelly points out. Now, guidelines have no sanction nor suasion at all. So unless we adopt a protocol, there isn't one that's going to govern us. Chief Executive can adopt her own for her own organisation as to how the ORC is going to proceed on those matters. But regards the ORC as a governance organisation, we have nothing. Now, you can go to it yourself. I looked at it beforehand. It's clearly on the control of the Auditor General site. And it clearly intends that we adopt a protocol. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that protocol, just as long as there is one adopted. Advises the officer, the Office of the Auditor General.
Okay, I'll test the water. I move we adopt the protocols of the Auditor General as outlined in the recent communique. I have a seconder. Second by Councillor Noon. Up for discussion.
One of the things that in this protocol that you were recommending says any elected members' radio slots will be suspended.
Correct.
Now, that puts me in an awkward position because last Sunday I was on RNZ, Sunday morning programme, talking about Otago Regional Council business. Did I break the protocol?
Other comment?
Similarly, I need to declare an interest. I have a weekly slot with Radio Central and I write a weekly column for a community newspaper. I have no intention of suspending those.
I think we need a bit of clarification on those things, because if both council laws and I do that stuff, it's part of our lives.
So we communicate with our constituents too.
Through the chair, it seems to me, just looking at Protocol 2, use of council resources, it seems to highlight that you need to be essentially connected with using ratepayers' money whilst you're on the radio. So in other words,
a radio slot would be one organised by ORC.
Well, that's...
Yes.
That's how I interpret it.
Well, as long as that's the interpretation, because at the moment the protocol reads that we have to... Michael and I have to suspend both.
Mr. Scott?
Yeah. Everybody's looking at their iPad about something that was apparently emailed to them, which I did read, but I haven't got it here in front of me. I just wonder whether... It should actually be brought to the council meeting for noting, so we all understand, and our community understands. It's a public meeting, and maybe it'll assist in our communications and issues that these two councillors have raised are open for discussion in a noting situation. But at the end of the day, as Councillor Kempton has pointed out, it'll be up to each councillor to act as they see fit, and if they do wrong, at their peril.
Well, I think given what Councillor Noon said, it's up to each person's integrity, really, to interpret those protocols as they see fit.
Yeah, but like we're debating something even here and now, and I haven't actually even got in front of me to discuss. I guess, it's not in the hard copy, is it?
Is it the wish of the meeting you want to hold this over to the next council meeting, because it probably needs to be done pronto?
Yeah.
Is there a recommendation to note, mate?
Just let your motion lie on the table.
You're moving that direction?
Yep.
Seconded by Councillor Hope. Yeah. All those in favour of the motion lie on the table?
Aye.
Please say aye. I think against, carried. Mr. Chairman, that's possible to do that.
Just so we're clear then, we're looking for clarification around the protocols and what it means, are we?
awareness.
And we're looking to adopt protocols.
Yeah, the move is to adopt them.
Adopt them, right.
Yes. But I'm hoping that there will be a chance between now and the council meeting
to clarify some...
perhaps the point that applies to the two Michaels.
I'm sure your situation, Councillor Digg, is, you know, many councils throughout the country have had to deal with the same issue. So. Sorry, Councillor Neil.
At the end of this protocol, and as someone has already said, it's ultimately your responsibility, and if you are in doubt, you have the opportunity to contact the electoral officer. I don't know what we're discussing it for. It's pretty clear to me.
The electoral officer won't know this. So the electoral officer is a guy who counts votes at Christchurch. He isn't and interprets the law basically.
Well, actually, they're in Dunedin.
These protocols aren't part of that.
And it is their job to know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. Okay. Okay, if that's all, we must move on. Back to page 8-7, 10-2, annual plan. Back to where we were. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The annual plan 1920 has now been drafted by council staff and has been presented to this committee for final consideration before adoption at council, next council meeting. Critically and importantly, it contains the financial forecasts and that fiscal envelope that you considered and agreed at the 3 April council meeting. So you can be confident that this position in front of you now is what was in front of you in 3 April. So there's no change in that fiscal envelope. And that includes your rating impacts. Just as a very quick recap, it reflects a review process that culminated in a draft budget 1920 that was brought to you to that 3 April meeting. And at that meeting, you approved the budget and adjustments to the long-term plan as a basis for an informal engagement with the community. And I won't get too much into that informal engagement, other than to say you gave the intention that you wanted to stick to your long-term plan. And so the subsequent adjustments have been not material. And the LTP was substantively... engaged with, consulted in May 18 with the Otago community. So just before I hand back to the Chair, there's just one housekeeping matter regarding the cover report that I'd like minuted, just for accuracy. There's a table on page 11 under general rates, and there's three numbers in it that need correction. They're just typing errors. The underlying financial information is accurate, and they are on column 2 under year 2 LTP, the first number there, 19594, should be 19903. And moving down that column, general rates payable, the 10507 should be 10816, and the resulting rating impact, as previously reported, is 22.8%.
Thank you for that.
Thanks. So back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Any comment? I think it's pretty well explained, plus the attachment, which is the actual annual plan. Councillor Hope.
Thank you, through the Chair. I just wanted to point out a little point there on number 15 on page 9 of 16. I do think it's quite an important part. The key learnings that come from the community is... when we were at Oamaru, you could see some people did not know what we were talking about. And I do agree that we need to try and simplify the language and make it easier and under them stand. And you do see that too in the attachments there, where you've got all those people that have said different things online. I mean, we've got some good responses to them, but do they still understand actually what we... So we need to just simplify the language if we could. I think that's something that we need to work on.
Any comment?
It's ironic that Councillor Hope should raise that point, because I had it highlighted too. That last sentence in paragraph 15, we need to tailor the language we use so that it resonates with our community in a way we all understand. Now, why on earth would you say something like that in such a multisyllabic, clumsy way? We need to use plain language that all our community understands, is what that sentence is saying, but it says it in a way that the community would not understand. I just don't get it, how people... Oh, doesn't matter, it just bugs me so much that so many of our staff use difficult, unnecessarily complicated language when they're trying to say something simple. Ironically, about an issue like that.
Any further comment? Councillor Noon.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Just a question around the covering report, paragraph 26, and it talks about the potential review, or not potential, but a review that's happening for fees and charges. So two questions. One was the actual timing of that, when that will be completed, and whether the elected arm will have an opportunity to feed into that. And I can elaborate for the reasons why I've asked that question, but if it's simple as that we're going to be involved, that's fine. Or is it done by an external party, or and the timing?
No, fees and charges. We've got a team across finance and in the consents area looking at our fees and charges, so our rates, and looking at our deposits. And so everything that flows into the Section 36, schedule that we've got here in the annual plan. So the aim is that we'll work our way through that. That would come back to this table. With
26th of June.
No. It's not going to be done, completed. It's going to take longer to complete. And then we'll look at what different options are. And ultimately, it could be that, in fact, it doesn't result in any changes until the following year's annual plan. Typically, we consult on the fees and charges as part of that process.
Yep.
If we think that there's some significant things that we want to change in the interim, we can go out to the public and change those. But as with doing anything like that, it needs to come to this table first, and then the decision will be made where it goes to from there. It could be that recommendations are minor changes that will factor through into the next annual plan. So we've got a process that we're working through. It'll take time to complete, come back to this table. But any changes to the Section 36 fees and charges do require public consultation. So they have to, we have to put them out there and go through, have a feedback period and make sure that. So generally, that's why we do it as part of an LTP or annual plan process, where we're formally going through that process. We haven't, in this annual plan, we haven't got any changes to what was already in the LTP, so they're staying as is.
No, I sort of suspected that there'll be public consultation.
And, absolutely.
That's good. Okay. Yep. My second query was on the attachment funding impact statement. I'm not sure whether you've got that in front of you, but page 92, 3, 4... or 56, 57, 58, I'm not sure which numbers you're using, but the last page, page 59, it's got the shot over Delta funding impact, it's on capital value, and the projected or estimated rates payable just runs through at $1.19. Obviously it's capital value, so there must be a variation there. I appreciate there's going to be a proofread, but I'm just highlighting. There must be a variation if it's on capital value, that was all.
What page is that, Andrew?
59.
Yes.
Yep.
Or page 66 of 92.
Thank you.
Must be 66.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Here we go.
I'll have a look at that one.
Thank you. Councillor Lawton.
Particularly interested in going through and just checking out where we're at in terms of our planning for the review of the water plan. Given that we've been reviewed on this point, and one of the initial points, I kept looking at the under the environment section and wondering where the policy aspect was, and realising it's under regional leadership. And I think one of the things that we can do to be really crystal clear about the difference between those is in the actual long-term plan document, or in the council paper, we refer to water implementation, and then but in the actual long-term plan document, we don't. And I think it would be really good to keep them consistent, so it's clear that under regional leadership, we're looking at the review and the review of the water policy rather than the actual implementation of the water policy, which is under the environment. Can we do that? Just include the point that it's water implementation under the environment section.
Right, so it's a heading. It's a heading issue that you're signalling.
In the
actual
long-term plan document, it doesn't say that right now.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. We're actually trying to clarify the current LTP within this annual plan by looking at the buckets we've got and how we label the buckets. So I'll come in. The answer's yes.
Okay.
We can get that labelling a little clearer.
Yeah, consistency in particular with the council document which outlines...
Can I come and talk to you about that?
Okay.
If it's just a labelling issue, I think it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. If I didn't know to keep reading, I would have kept asking why we're reducing the amount that we're spending on water implementation at a time when that's our sole focus, one of our major focuses. But then you realise that it is under regional leadership. But however, at the moment... I'm just checking, we're still only increasing expenditure after everything that's happened in the last 12 months under what's required for a review of the regional plan. We're still only increasing our funding by $185,000. Is that all that we're increasing our funding
Correct.
For?
Correct.
Correct. So can I ask the CE, are we 100% sure that we're going to have enough grant to get the work done? Because we're going to have to be able to put our hand on our heart to say that we've got enough.
Yes. It's probably not the not entirely the place for this conversation. I think we could have discussed it also as part of the policy committee. But from a financial perspective, we have flexibility in the way that the budget has been structured to allow us to either hire staff or to hire other expertise who are not staff. And we think that there is a sufficient amount of money there to be able to deliver on the priorities we have for this coming year.
And that's coming out of a plan that we have in place already about what... So is that out of the PIP, for example?
Yes, so there was consideration of the PIP, but also what you've seen around priorities for FMU, so the MAC catchments and the overarching piece of work. And right at the moment we have, obviously we've got staff working on this already, and we believe that we don't have budget challenges right now. Now that's not to say that things may come up that we don't know about, because we don't know what the outcome of the Minister's investigation will be and what the cost implications of that may also be.
I have another point.
Just
to follow on from that, just to make sure that we're really clear about what we're trying to achieve, under measures on page 29, Service Statement 1 is about establishing and maintaining a robust, integrated and consistent environmental planning framework. Now, our target is to report progress against the PIP as published in the Council website. Isn't the target to achieve the PIP and the key milestones under that rather than just reporting against it? Don't we want to say that we're going to do it? We're going to do it.
So I think... Yes, obviously, the target's to achieve the PIP, but that's not just for this year. That's, the PIP actually has a lifespan beyond this coming financial year. So there are parts of the PIP which we have achieved, for example, the setting of FMUs, and then the work program that we're working on has been based on moving... Yes, that's right. But as you recall, we've talked about the approach to the water plan and the way that we have now the FMUs established and the Rohe established, and how we will progress those on a on a priority basis. So we have three this year with the overarching piece. And the PIP, of course, covers the whole review of the water plan because we have to do the whole thing in order to be compliant with the NPSFM, which is what the PIP's all about. So, yes, monitoring progress against the PIP, I think, would be appropriate. You could consider other measures, if you wished to, that related specifically to the priority plan changes that are being done this year.
Sir Rosler?
Just following on from what the CE is saying, that as a measure and the way it's stated is, and this is the key thing, it gives transparency to you and the public around a plan that has hard and fast dates in it that the organisation reports to you against in the community. So it's transparent. So as governors, it's clear to you and you can act on performance around those hard and fast dates that you're referring to that yes, do sit in that PIP. That's the purpose of the measure as it stands and how it's written, and it should work.
Okay, must move on. Councillor Lords.
Thank you. Just two quick questions. Just to follow up on Ella's point. So, Sarah, if I got it right, we've got the staff and the resources over the next 12 months to deal with the Minister's concerns that he's expressed publicly and privately.
Yes. So what we've done is we have a team now in place that's been working together for some time that we've recently had a further addition to, but we have a team in place that's been working on this now for some months, and the progress is being made. And you can ask Mr. Newman in detail, but you can see from the work that's been undertaken, so the values workshops, for example, the science program has been undertaken, and I understand Mr. Newman is intending on bringing some further information to council about that. I don't believe it's today, but I do believe he is intending to do that. We have the technical advisory group that has met. We have the community reference group. So we are taking all of the actions that we can take in order to make the boat go faster, if you like. And we feel confident that we have a highly skilled team around us. In fact, arguably some of the most skilled people that you could possibly get to help us with this work.
Cool. And the second one, very quickly, Michael's point, Clause 15, Michael, the point you were making. Was this our consultative document, was it, for year two of the plan? This one here?
It was supporting information to the engagement process, yes.
But this was the one that's out on your front desk and the most accessible.
Correct, yes, it was accessible, yes.
Yes, okay, thank you. We approved this, though, didn't we, Michael?
Yes, we did.
Councillor Bell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just got to relate that there was a number of water groups and water consumers in my constituency that are concerned about what fees and charges may look like, and I'm glad that Councillor Moon has raised the fact that we are going to have a public hearing with regards to this, because there is a fear that this council will be recovering the huge amount of costs from the amount of consultants that we're employing and actually asking me what are these consultants costing. And there is strong rumours out there, and people are probably doing their own calculations what a consultant costs, and they are worried about the fees and charges and the consent process on the recovery of that. And I just want to send that strong message from my constituents and what a group people.
Hey, Councillor Woodhead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I actually remember one of the recommendations from the consents review was to review our fees and charges because they didn't look like they were in line. But that's another topic for another day. Annual plan. Look, thank you for the reports. Thank you for those that were involved in community interaction and the various processes. I enjoy working through some of the detail in these documents and understanding where we are currently. Things are like sort of reserves, and encourage councillors to have a look at that. When you look at the state of our flood and drainage schemes and transport reserves, for example, and when I say state of flood and drainage schemes, I mean from a financial perspective. So what happens, how sustainable are we, and what position are we in to actually be able to handle an event in the coming years? And most of them are in deficit, and so there's some forward debt for those communities to be working way through. At the same time, we need to be monitoring and improving, managing the infrastructure that's at play there. But from an overall rates perspective, this is quite a significant jump for probably, I think, the third year now in our work programs. We are adapting to the demands and the needs of our communities. And it's been said before, we've kept the organisation pretty tight historically, but things like harbour mastering, wild and conifer control, public transport, etc., biodiversity, we've got an awful lot on our plate. That's before we start looking at water and air quality and our more the ones that have been sitting around for a number of years. So an expanding work program, the organisation is having to adapt as a result of that, and that costs money. We understand that. Now, it's easy to use percentages and say and divide it across the 115,000 odd ratepayers, and it doesn't look like a lot of money, but for some ratepayers it will be quite a lot. And I just want to ensure that the community understands we acknowledge that, but we do have to adapt both to the needs in the community and to the legislative requirements that are coming down the pipe at us nationally. So I'm happy to move the recommendations if you haven't got someone already, Mr. Chairman. And we need to, as an organisation, I think we're, and I was going to say some more of this later in regulatory committee, probably, or policy, but I think we're in a pretty good space with respect to implementing our work programs now. An enormous amount of focus being put on that. And but just acknowledging the lift in rates that is in our annual plan. The work program is expanding, the core priorities have stayed the same, but actually there's a growing cost in funding ORC. Happy to move those recommendations.
Second. Any further comment before I put the motion? Two parts to it. If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried. That brings us to the end of this part of the committee round. I move we go into public excluded part of the meeting. Seconded by Councillor Noon. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against, carried.